Follow the show on Twitter at Brody Nation. It's the Brody Nation podcast.
Another boring Monday. Tomorrow looks dull too.
You can't do much about Mondays, but Third Dimension Tattoos and Body Piercing has given you reason to look forward to Tuesday. Third Dimension now presents Tattoos Days. Every Tuesday from now until Labor Day, 2-inch by 2-inch tattoos are only $30. 3x3 artwork goes for $40, and most piercings start at $20. What you'll see on Tattoos Days at Third Dimension is that customer service is our specialty. We pride ourselves in providing a comfortable atmosphere and a clean, friendly customer environment. Open from noon to 8, Monday through Saturday, Third Dimension is ready at your convenience. With three artists on staff and a body piercing expert, there's nothing that we can't do. Find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at 3D_tattoos. Then come see us in person at 327 Main Avenue in De Pere for Tattoos Days. You don't want a typical tattoo, so don't bother with a typical tattoo shop. Third Dimension, not even close to typical.
If you are involved with business today, you understand that the current climate is the most competitive era for business in our history. Due to the impact of expanding technology, attention spans are shorter than ever, which means that you need to work harder to get the attention of your consumers and clients. If you need help to get ahead, Underground Media Productions can help. If marketing or just getting the word out about your business is an issue for you, we can get you there. We are more than just a media organization that helps you advertise your brand or organization. We can write, produce, and voice ads, but we can do much, much more. Do you need a unique voice or narration to take that PowerPoint presentation over the top? What about an MC for that special event or public address announcements? We can do all of these things and much, much more. Underground Media is a flexible company that can suit our talents to the needs of just about any organization, and that includes yours. To find out what the next step is, call Underground Media right now. No task is too small or too large, so call Underground Media Productions today at 508-335-8003.
Brody gives me just a little bit of time during the show to...
Wait.
I get a week off? Fuck yeah.
Freeze, I'm out of here!
It's the Brody Nation
Flashback.
Brody Nation.
No, Johnny Doe, that's not your excuse to leave. We still have a show to do. Remember? The show? Your job? Yeah.
Damn literalist.
Quit throwing stuff at me, dude. Come on!
Seeing as how it's another segment that you've just downloaded, I feel the need to introduce all the cast. Johnny Doe, we've already sort of heard from.
Dude! Come on!
What a fucking clown. That's Johnny Doe. He's just deciding to really piss me off right now. And the disembodied voice, he's around here somewhere. We'll be hearing from him a little bit later on in the disembodied voices corner. If you want to tweet me punishments for Johnny Doe for being a douchebag, send a tweet to Brody Nation. Excuse me, send a tweet to at Brody Nation. Otherwise, if you've got other ways for me to deal with Johnny Doe, shoot me an email to BrodyNationPodcast@gmail.com.
Dude, you suck! Ha! Missed that time.
Tom Brady.
Alex Rodriguez.
Your damn nerves get on my nerves.
Boston Red Sox.
New York. Boston.
Tom Brady.
Former Philly.
Jets GM.
David Step aside.
Tom Brady.
Rex we Ryan. Hear enough about you.
Tim Tebow.
It's time for some Midwestern bias.
Tom Brady.
In this week's Midwestern bias, I actually had a bit of a hard time deciding on content for this week. At first, I thought about talking up Vanilla Ice's appearance at 90s night at the Bradley Center, Milwaukee. And how he performed during halftime of a Bucks game. However, I decided not to pile on good old Uncle Vanny.
You think I got that kind of money? Listen, man, I work at an ice rink now.
I actually kind of like the guy. Seems to be an okay dude, and, you know, his appearance in some other recent TV projects are actually kind of cool.
What is Vanilla Ice doing in our room?
Also, I kind of feel pity for him for having to whore himself out to sing Ice Ice Baby for a stupid retro night for a terrible NBA team. You know, to be honest, I'm not sure what's worse, the fact that the Bucks pulled that old song out of Mothballs, or decided to go back to wearing purple in their color scheme for a night as a part of a retro theme. The idea of the Bucks wearing purple, you know, it just gives even more evidence of an idea that snapback hats and boy band reunions prove. That idea is, just because it's retro, doesn't mean it's cool.
Stupid!
However, I kind of rethought that a little bit, because the more I thought about Uncle Vanny,
the hell with the 5.0 4-0. Let's run for it, man.
The more I realized that I'd spend more time trashing the dude, and that's not exactly an appealing idea in my head right now. I mean, I couldn't be any more mean and funny than his wardrobe was back in 1991. And the more I thought about the true meaning of Midwestern bias and the reason why this became an important segment for me, the more I thought that the real spirit of Midwestern bias is more represented with another issue that I've noticed recently. Maybe this particular issue comes to mind because we are right around opening day, for baseball, that is. And there's this thing that seemed to start off just about every baseball season with quite a bit of consistency. And that is Major League Baseball throwing out the first pitch in Cincinnati every year and opening the season with a Reds home game every year. I always thought it was kind of cool that the justification for that was the fact that the Reds are the oldest professional franchise remaining in Major League Baseball. It was a cool tradition, it was very baseball-esque, but yet it seems to have gone by the wayside now, and it's now due to the new traditions of money, exposure, and bearing franchises that are located in the Midwest just because they're not sexy. This was always one of the cooler, yet lesser-known traditions in all of sports. And in a sport like baseball, tradition is everything. It's an old sport whose history is intermingled with the history of our own country. Perhaps it has something to do with the fact that it really was an American-born sport, or perhaps that the nature of baseball makes it perfect for storytelling. I don't know. Either way, this was a great, cool idea that, while little known, was really, really neat. I challenge anyone to say that the idea of the oldest remaining Major League Baseball franchise being the first to throw out the first pitch of the season isn't cool. So then, it should come as no surprise that ESPN and their overflowing love of Red Sox-Yankees helped to destroy this cool tradition. I know it's not necessarily all on ESPN. However, being the network that has a ton of power and a ton of influence and also broadcasts opening night, you're telling me that they don't have the slightest bit of influence?
Don't bullshit me.
I mean, I can't help but feel that if the Reds were located on the East Coast and were still the oldest team as they are, this tradition would still be going on. One of the reasons why the tradition was not well known is simply because of the fact that they were in a relatively small market located in the Midwest. I mean, I get that Sox-Yanks gets more interest and ratings than the Reds playing anyone, really. However, to ESPN, I say you're a member of the media. You're a storyteller, and you need to respect that duty as a storytelling entity. I get that most of your staff is based on the East Coast, which means that roughly, 90-95% of your staff are either Sox or Yankees fans. But that doesn't mean that you get to take a dump on the traditions that are a part of the fabric of the sport that you cover. Furthermore, getting rid of such a tradition, it can be understood when you do it for higher ratings. However, riddle me this, Eastern Sports Promotion Network. Why did you run Rangers Astros out there as opening night this year? You've basically got a quadruple A team whose payroll is lower than a handful of Major League Baseball superstars playing a team that is second banana in their own home market. Just ask Josh Hamilton about that.
But you know what? Now I'm an angel.
And Rangers fans, you're not going to like hearing this, but Josh Hamilton is right. People in Dallas care more about the Cowboys year-round than their neighbors that occupy the ballpark next door in Arlington.
Yeah, boy!
Put those ideas together, and I gotta ask, why would a national audience be interested in this game? Yes, the Astros switching leagues so that they can occupy the American League basement, that's a nice story, but it's not exactly a ratings grabber. So, if you're showing this dog of a game as a part of your opening day showcase, why not just reinstate having the Reds hosting opening day? Oh my god! Logic! Ah, we can't have that! Hey ESPN, and Commissioner Bud, whichever you dopes is responsible for reinstating the Reds to opening day duty, you need to get on that. Immediately. Now, buddy boy, I get that you just wanted to justify moving Houston to the AL, which is why they're a part of opening day. Furthermore, which makes moving the Brewers to the National League a decade and a half ago even more of an exercise in masturbation. But not having the Reds on opening day duty makes no sense.
Uh-uh. Why don't you?
Would you please shut the hell up?
you could trouble me for a warm glass of shut the hell up.
Tired of this guy talking?
He's not telling you to shut up.
Shut up.
Great.
Shut up.
It's time for me, the Disembodied Voices Corner.
I tell other people to shut up.
Shut up.
I'll have my secretary call you and tell you to shut up.
You know, Johnny Doe's inability to be a good producer last week kind of led to my week off. Thanks, jerk off. Brody, what I really want to talk about this week is Mike Rice from Rutgers. If dude can get fired for what he said, how the hell are you still on the air?
Whoa, hey, look at the time. We got to go. We got to get out of here. You know, on second thought about last week, Johnny Doe, maybe I owe you an apology. I'll think about getting that to you one of these days. So for my producer, Johnny Doe, for the disembodied voice, who provided yet another outstanding disembodied voices corner. Brilliant analysis right there, bud. For those two guys, I am Brody, and we are signing off for this week. We'll be back with another awesome, well, maybe not awesome, better than lackluster? Yeah, there we go. We'll be back for another better than lackluster show next week here on the Brody Nation podcast. Before we go, don't forget to tweet the show at Brody Nation on Twitter. Also, email the show, BrodyNationPodcast@gmail.com. I really love to hear what you have to say. The feedback so far has been really, really cool, and I want to hear more. Positive or negative, I don't really care. Shockingly, I've yet to hear from 1 million moms. So for all the cast and crew, we will see you next week. And remember, if you can't be good, take lots of pictures. See ya!
Let's fail. I don't want to be here. Let's fail. I want to leave her. Let's fail. Let's fail. Let's fail. Let's fail. Agitate the gravel. Let's fail. Saddle up a chapel. Let's fail. Let's fail. Let's fail. This is the most boring place I know. Like a mashed potato sandwich with mayo on white. Chances are that fun is somewhere else. So let's go there and leave this mess alone. Let's fail.
The proceeding was recorded earlier because we were ashamed to do it now.